You're listening to the Main Column Podcast, brought to you by Hydrocarbon Processing. Each episode delves into critical topics, including technology advancements, sustainability, energy transition, and operational excellence. Join us as we navigate the industry's complexities, offering valuable perspectives and insights that empower professionals to make informed decisions and lead confidently. Now, here's today's episode. Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the latest installment of Hydrocarbon Processing's podcast series, The Main Column. I'm your host, Lee Nichols. Now, joining us for The Main Column today is Gunther Kracker, who is the Head of Product Management and Cost Estimation, Sustainable Hydrocarbon Solutions for Linde Engineering. On this episode, we're going to take a deep dive into Linde Engineering's EdHox technology. For additional reference, Hydrocarbon Processing actually published a paper on this technology, and you can read that in the March 2024 issue. The article is called A Novel Process for the Oxidative Dehydrogenation of Ethane to Produce Ethylene and Acetic Acid. Now, the link to this article is listed in the show notes, so please go ahead, check that out for more information on this technology. Now, without further ado, I want to welcome in our special guest. Gunther, how are you doing today?
Thank you, Lee. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here talking to you, so thank you so much for having me here today.
Absolutely, and really, we know how busy you are, so really want to thank you for providing us a couple minutes of your time. So before I dive into the bulk of the conversation about this technology, can you provide a little bit more information about Linde Engineering and, of course, your role with the organization?
Sure. So let me introduce Linde, where Linde Engineering is one integral part of it. Linde PLC is a leading global industrial gases and engineering company. Actually, this company is then divided into two parts. There is the larger part of the organization, which is Linde Gas, which actually supplies industrial and specialty gases to our global customers. And that obviously also includes operation of more than 1,000 assets globally to produce these gases. So that's typically hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and other gases, and the related infrastructure to supply and distribute the gases. So actually then the smaller part of Linde PLC is then actually Linde Engineering, which I'm part of. And we engineer and design plants on the one hand for our gases organization, which is then again the hydrogen plants, syngas, air separation plants. And on the other hand, we also engineer and build plants for our third-party customers, which is then besides the hydrogen and air separations that we also supply to them, which is a very distinctive portfolio of technologies within petrochemical and natural gas industries with a variety of technologies all centered around our flagship technologies, steam crackers and LNG plants. Within these portfolio elements, within petrochemical and natural gas processing, we mainly today focus on sustainable technology solutions.
And how about your specific role with the company?
Yeah, so within Linde Engineering, I'm heading the product management for sustainable hydrocarbon solution, which is essentially this portfolio of petrochemical plants and natural gas technologies. And so I sign responsible for managing this technology portfolio, which includes the further development of the portfolio, the technologies that we are developing with our research and development. And then on the other hand, also the commercialization of the new technologies that we have developed and which are ready for the market. So that's an integral part of my job and the job of my team. I personally have a strong technology background, 20 years with the company, started as a process engineer for steam crackers, and then worked myself through the organization through various roles, which also included heading the process engineering department for petrochemical plants for 8 years, and then before I moved into my current position 2 or 3 years ago.
Excellent. So perfect. And now I want to dive into the bulk of our conversation. I know that Linde Engineering has been very active in sustainable technology solutions, and y'all been doing that for a long time. So what are some of Linde's key elements in shaping the future in the petrochemical industry within this regard?
As you mentioned it, we are highly focused on providing sustainable technology solutions to our customers. And as you said, we have been looking into this now for quite several years already to develop these sustainable technology elements to decarbonize, especially the petrochemical industry. So most of these solutions are today mostly readily developed, and they form sort of the basis of our petrochemical technology portfolio. to spread some more light on that, there is technologies in the area of CO2 elimination measures. That's mainly carbon capture, utilization and storage. That's all the hydrogen firing that we find in petrochemicals today. And obviously, these technologies, they almost come naturally as our gases organization also operates these plants. We can actually provide plants, build, own, operate to our customers to decarbonize steam crackers or other petrochemical elements. That's the field of CO2 elimination. Besides that, we are deeply looking into CO2 avoidance. We try to tackle the main source of CO2 emissions by its main contributor, the steam cracking furnace, which is contributing mostly to the petrochemical greenhouse gas emissions. We have a variety of portfolio elements there readily developed, which is on the one hand the low emission furnace, which is still a fired furnace, but with reduced emissions through several measures like air preheat and stuff. And then, of course, as quite well known at the moment, I believe, we are developing and currently bringing into operation the first electrical steam cracking furnace. We have a very strong development alliance with BASF and SABIC on that. So that's really one upcoming pillar of our portfolio. And then alternatively to that, we have formed a very interesting collaboration with a Finnish company, Coolbrook, who develop and the commercialization now the rotodynamic reactor, which is an alternative way to electrify steam cracking. So there is distinctive elements in the CO2 avoidance. And to complete the holistic picture, we are, of course, also very active in the fields of circularity, all the renewable, recyclable feedstocks. We deeply look into that. And then the last point, and that brings us somehow closer to the, I believe, our main topic of discussion here today, is alternative technologies to produce olefins, in the special case, ethylene, which is becoming more and more important these days with all the transition of the industry towards net zero. And that's a field where we have developed last year this new oxidative dehydrogenation of ethane technology, which we call
AdOx. That's right, yeah. And that's a great segue into the next question that I had, because I think most people within the industry know Linde is predominantly known for their steam cracking technology. Now, of course, you mentioned this oxidative dehydrogenation of ethane, or what's referred to as AdOx. So if some of the listeners haven't heard of this technology, can you provide a little bit more details about what AdOx is and some of its key features and, of course, some of the challenges that it helps to solve?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'll be happy to do so. So let me maybe start from scratch and in very general here. We all know non-oxidative dehydrogenation, which is fairly known across the industry, from PDH, propane dehydrogenation, which is widely referenced in the industry and well known, working very well, actually. Unfortunately, if you apply this non-oxidative dehydrogenation principle to ethane, that would require substantially higher temperatures. So it doesn't really prove feasible for ethane. Fortunately, there is the possibility to oxidatively dehydrogenate ethane in the presence of oxygen. And that leads us to the solution that we have followed and developed. It's ethane dehydrogenation oxidative. We abbreviated it AdOx. Yeah, this is what AdOx stands for. So let me file you a bit deeper into the principles of AdOx then. So I already said we are oxidizing ethane in the presence of pure oxygen, and that results in the valuable product ethylene and water. But besides that, if you do oxidative dehydrogenation, you will also get a second valuable product, which is acetic acid. And I want to be clear about that. Acetic acid will always be there. But depending on the operating conditions, you can vary the ratio in between ethylene and acetic acid. Acetic acid will be always there in a lesser extent than ethylene. But as I said, it will be there. So as a rough indication, you may say the ratio of ethylene to acetic acid can be varied by operating conditions in between 2.5 and 4.5. So with more ethylene, less acetic acid. Okay, so that's the reaction scheme that we are looking at. Then talking a bit more about operating conditions for AdOx, it's obviously a catalytic technology. It requires significantly milder operating temperatures than, for example, steam cracking. So we are operating at roughly 300 to 400 degrees C. And then one key feature of the technology itself is that it is an exothermal process, meaning that it generates heat in contrary to steam cracking, where you need to add a lot of heat to actually facilitate the cracking. So it's exothermic. Last point with the operating conditions, besides the fact that it's moderate operating temperatures, it also operates at very moderate pressures, just like steam cracking. Then to move a bit deeper into the technology, what's another key feature is that besides the two valuable products, ethylene and acetic acid, the technology only produces CO and CO2. And that's one of the distinctive advantages of the technology, that the separation and purification of products and byproducts is comparably simpler than with a steam cracker, which produces a variety of components in the crack gas. Separation is simplified as we only have ethylene, acetic acid, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide products to be separated. And then, of course, traces of oxygen. So that's the product scheme. And then maybe if we talk about the key features of the technology, let me spread some light on that. The core of the technology, as I say always, is the multi-tubular reactor. That's a tube and shell reactor where the catalyst is filled in the several thousand tubes. Depending on the size, that can be several ten thousands of tubes even. And on the shell side, we find a circulating salt bath, which is being pumped around the reactor to remove the heat that's generated by the reaction. So that's salt bath cooled reactors, which are pretty common in oxidative technologies. We find them, for example, in acrylic acid, maleic, anhydride, and other oxidative technologies. So for engineering, designing, and building the reactors, we teamed up with MAN Energy, who have assigned responsible for developing several oxidative technologies already, and who are very well set up to support us on the development of the ADOX technology as well. So that's the core of the technology. It's the reactor. And then, of course, as with all catalytic processes, the core of the process is the catalyst itself. In this case, we are talking about a multi-metal oxide catalyst. And also there, we founded a collaboration with Clariant, a catalyst manufacturer and developer who developed this catalyst and has brought it up to commercial readiness. Ali, you also talked about the challenges that ADOX tackles or solves in a way. I believe we will talk a bit about economics and different stuff later in our discussion, but I firmly believe that the true benefit of ADOX is definitely its sustainable profile. It fully hits the nerve and lives up to the requirements of our time in all these times of transitioning the petrochemical industry towards net zero CO2 emissions. Let me guide you through that, what's distinguishing here for ADOX. I'm back again to the exothermic nature of the process. As this is an exothermic process, it does not require any external heating to run the reaction. And what this implies, of course, that we do not need to fire hydrocarbons like in steam cracking, which causes scope 1 direct CO2 emissions. Nothing of that is there, so we don't need to fire anything. There is literally no direct CO2 emissions from the process itself. There is smaller amounts of CO2, however, generated, but these CO2 emissions remain in the process itself. And that's really a distinguishing advantage of the technology. We have an amine wash in the process gas path that directly captures the CO2. So all the CO2 generated by the technology is already there in concentrated and captured forms, so it's ready to be further utilized, or after further purification may also be sequestrated. So no direct emissions from firing. And if we are utilizing or sequestrating the CO2, we are literally a scope 1 zero. And that's nice in these times. And that's what I meant with the technology quite hits the nerve of our industry currently. Second thing with regards to sustainability is that the technology can be supplied fully electrified. There is not a lot of energy you need to put into the process. This is mainly to drive the machinery, the refrigeration machine, and the process gas compressor. And this can be supplied in forms of electricity. If you apply electrical energy in forms of renewable power, then you are literally free of scope 2 emissions as well. Summarizing, I think you asked about the challenges that it solves. It's really a solution to an alternative way to produce ethylene and, of course, also acetic acid, which is also a very CO2-intensive process, typically, to produce those two valuable products in a sustainable way with potentially no scope 1 and scope 2 emissions.
It's really good to hear about what's really unique about these this type of technologies. Are there any other type of advantages for those different operators that could use EdOx?
So yes, Lisa, we talked about sustainability-related advantages now a lot. But however, we all know that any sustainable solution today still requires some economic advantage or driver to be applied, especially if you're talking about a first reference of technology. So let's talk about economics, which is essential for new technologies these days, however sustainable they are. As already mentioned, EdOx produces less byproducts, which simplifies separation and purification of the products. And this directly relates to reduced capex if you compare it to, for example, ethane steam cracking. Even if you consider the capex of the air separation unit that you require for producing the oxygen, if you don't get the oxygen from battery limit, then still the capex of EdOx is lower than for an ethane steam cracker of comparable size. So that's the capex. And then what's always the next step is then what about the opex? To answer that, EdOx also features significantly less OPEX compared to ethane steam cracking, which is attributable to several reasons. We are again back to the exothermal nature of the process. We do not need to apply energy in large amounts to drive the reaction. So as I said already, it's only energy from outside that we need to add to drive the compressors. So we have significantly less specific energy to be applied. And then the other thing regarding OPEX is that with acetic acid, we are producing an additional product. And if you sum that up with the ethylene, then we end at a distinctively higher carbon efficiency compared to ethane steam cracking. So let me rephrase that in simple words. Out of each ton of ethane, you get more tons of ethylene plus acetic acid compared to steam cracking. So we are talking about more than 93% of the ethane are converted towards these valuable products. And that makes up for a nice business case, obviously. So together with all the sustainability advantages, we have a technology there that is really enabling to economically and sustainably produce these two products.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So then I guess that kind of is a good segue into my next question then is, who should be utilizing this technology? With all the benefits, it sounds like anyone with a steam cracker would be very smart to use this technology. So from your point of view, what kind of producers should use this type of technology?
Yeah, excellent question, Lee. So you can look at this from two different angles. So let me start with looking at it from customer priority. What are the key customers for EdOx? We believe that really the prior one customers are customers who are already utilizing ethylene and acetic acid in their value chains, or at least plan to utilize both these products in their downstream processing, which would then be, for example, owners of technologies like VAM, vinyl acetate, or other technologies consuming both ethylene and acetic acid, like EVA, ethylene vinyl acetate. Any customers already operating plants like that, EdOx fits perfectly upstream because it supplies both feedstocks for these technologies. But of course, it's also ethylene users who have the possibility to sell the acetic acid. The major advantage of acetic acid is it doesn't need a lot of refrigeration to transport it from one place to the other. So it's quite easy to handle and transport compared to other substances like hydrogen or ethylene or whatever. Customers who can sell the acetic acid. And then as an add-on that accounts for all the customers, if there is customers who have the possibility to utilize or sequestrate CO2, that of course, and we are back to what I said about the sustainability of the technology, that significantly adds, of course, to the reduced scope 1 emissions. And on the other hand, if you have electrical power of renewable source available already, that also adds on to the sustainable part of AdOx. So that's looking at customers who are potential suppliers for AdOx. Then you may also look at globally areas where AdOx may apply. So let's look at key markets. Obviously, you need ethane for the technology, but we know today ethane is being shipped around the globe in high amounts, so that applies almost globally. But you need access to ethane. But to add on to that, there is countries around the globe who are significant importers of acetic acid. So acetic acid value chain is not established globally. There is countries like India, Brazil, even Germany is importing large amounts of acetic acid. So we see a distinctive market, especially in these countries or areas, to go for AdOx. Then, of course, looking at markets, we see globally the acetic acid value chain strongly upcoming in countries like China, also in the Middle East, where countries are trying to diversify their production, going beyond plastics towards more diversified chemicals. And this is where this value chain is building up, China, Middle East. And last point to mention, of course, there is areas where both ethylene and acetic acid infrastructure exists today. That's what I keep saying. The U.S. Gulf Coast is a model market for AdOx because there's all the ethylene infrastructure for distribution and storage available, plus the acetic acid infrastructure. So that's looking at it from a market perspective.
I do want to get back to one thing that you mentioned during the discussion was about the catalyst technology. And what is the maturity grade of the technology and the catalyst?
Let me say that in simple words, AdOx is right at that moment in time ready for commercialization. Yeah, and that's really, we did a lot of work still in 2023, but now concept and process are readily developed. Both have been proven in our pilot facility. We have a pilot plant here in the south of Munich in Germany in our premises, which is running 24/7 testing the catalyst and the process, which has all the components of the big plant, all the separation is there, all the gas cleanup, and of course the reactor. So its pilot has been operated now for several years already under commercial operating conditions. And so you may say R&D development is successfully finalized. Then of course, as with all catalytic technologies, the question is always, what's the status of the catalyst? Because that's core to the technology.
Right.
As I said, last year, we did a lot of still fine-tuning on the catalyst. We have frozen recipe, and then we moved into a major step as Clariant started production trial for the catalyst. They are currently producing the catalyst magnitude of several tons already on the commercial production facility. They started that in the second half of last year and will finish this production trial, tuning in the commercial plant throughout this year. So we should be ready to commercially produce the catalyst by the end of this year. So in a nutshell, Lee, we are ready to go. And currently, to say that we are moving very fast towards the first application of the technology already.
Excellent. And that's where I'm going with this next question is, you've done a great job to provide a lot of detail about the AdOx technology. So I'm guessing you were leading into this, but what are the next steps for the technology? And I'm really curious to know, how do you see this technology fitting into the future of the petrochemicals industry?
Okay, so let me first touch upon the next steps. So at the moment, we are, as I said, producing the catalyst on this production trial facility. We are in parallel, of course, still testing latest samples. So that's all going on. And I said, moving very fast towards commercial production of the catalyst. On the opportunity side, we have been following up several opportunities already last year and still this year. We did some first pre-feeds for different opportunities, and right at the moment we are ready and about to move into the first process design package.
package for the first reference. Picking up the second part of your question, where do we see AddOx fitting in the future? We will see a first reference of this technology in a size of one or two reactors. So it will not scale up to the full potential immediately. That's in the nature of doing scale up from a pilot. So we will scale up to one, two reactors, which is roughly 250 to 500 kTa ethylene. One reactor is 250 kTa ethylene capacity. In the perspective, we see the technology, however, in capacities comparable to today's steam cracking up to 2000 kTa ethylene maybe. Yeah. So that's the size of the applications. And then, of course, where do we see it in the petrochemical landscape? As you're asking that, Lee, I want to be very clear on that. We do not see AddOx completely replacing steam cracking. So if you have ethane and want to produce ethylene, an ethane steam cracker is a very established technology. It's well known, and that's probably the way to go. However, as I said before, if you require ethylene and acetic acid, then AddOx is the way to go. Yeah. And then, of course, having said that, then all the sustainability aspects come into the picture, where AddOx has certain advantages also compared to steam cracking, which can be decarbonized, but at a specific effort. It's an attractive path to decarbonize. Maybe last point to mention here, where do we believe is the sweet spot of the technology? We see a bit of a sweet spot for the, at least capacity-wise, for smaller capacities of AddOx. So let me explain why that is. Because for AddOx, you don't need a spare reactor. One reactor of AddOx can run 2 to 4 years as expected. There is no downtime, no decoking. You don't need a spare. If you build a small steam cracker, you are off with at least 3 or 4 furnaces also, because you need to decoke. Yeah? And there is a distinctive investment advantage, especially for the smaller sizes. Of course, you still have that advantage for the larger sizes, but then the effect levels out somewhat. If you have then 8 AddOx reactors and 10 furnaces, that levels out a bit. On the market, a lot of smaller amounts of ethane around, which may be processed in an AddOx plant, or if smaller amounts of ethylene and acetic acid are required, that's also some sort of sweet spot application for AddOx.
And so it brings me to my last question then. I did reference the technical article that you and your colleagues wrote that's published in the March issue of Hydrocarbon Processing, but the people who listen to this, where can they go after this to find out more information about the AddOx technology?
As you said, I think this article in the March issue of Hydrocarbon Processing is an excellent first step into more information, because there is all the graphs there and pictures explaining in a bit more detail what I discussed with you today here. Apart from that, I guess we will drop a link down in the show notes where to access further information. And then I believe I will also leave my email there. Anybody can any time contact me, and I will forward or guide anybody towards further information or answer questions. And then the most simple thing is you just need to Google AddOx, E-D-H-O-X, and the first hit you will get is on the technology itself.
Now, you better be careful of putting your email address. You might get a lot of contacts about this technology.
I have a great team.
There you go. Excellent. We got there. We know how busy you are. It was great that you could sit with us and talk about this technology. It's really interesting to learn about these kind of novel technologies that are going within the industry. So I really appreciate your time today. And like I mentioned, we are going to put, if you look in the show notes, there is a link to the technical article that was published in the March issue. Please definitely check that out. You can read and find out a lot more information about our discussion that we had today. And of course, lastly, as always, really want to thank you for listening to this latest installment of Hydrocarbon Processing's podcast series, The Main Column.
Thank you so much for having me here. It was absolutely nice talking to you, Lee, and all the best and goodbye.
We trust you found today's episode engaging. Be sure to check out the show notes for resource links discussed. Remember to subscribe and leave a rating on your preferred podcast platform. For cutting-edge downstream technical knowledge and insights, head over to hydrocarbonprocessing.com.